människor.
Modiga människor.
Modiga människor.
Modiga människor.
Modiga människor.
Hello and welcome to episode 117 of Modiga Människor. Of course, I should have my microphone here. And which in English means brave people. Today I have with me Abby Johnson live from US. Before I introduce her, I just want to remind you to go and subscribe my channel on YouTube. And all the interviews are also on Rumble and Spotify and Podbean. And I have my own homepage, modigamänniskor.se, where all my interviews are collected. Don't forget to share all the interviews. And I also recently started a Patreon account where you can support the channel with a small donation. Thank you. And now to Abby. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
It's fantastic. I mean, yeah, you're with us live. And for the Swedish audience who doesn't know about you, you've been working at Planned Parenthood.
I did. I worked there for 8 years, which, of course, Planned Parenthood is the United States. It's our country's largest abortion provider. And I was there for 8 years. I ran one of their abortion centers here in the U.S. Sorry, you can hear my kids in the background. I ran one of their centers for 8 years and left in 2009 after witnessing a live ultrasound guided abortion procedure and witnessed a 13-week-old baby fight and struggle for his life against the abortion instruments. And I knew then that there was life in the womb. There was a humanity in the womb. And I knew then that I could no longer be involved in abortion. So I ended up leaving the facility and joined the pro-life movement. And I've been speaking out ever since.
Yeah. So, I mean, so for the Swedish audience, we don't have like a big debate or something about in this question at all. It's only about the women's right to do an abortion. But you really talk about everything in another context. And you wrote 3 books.
Mm-hmm. I have. You know, it was that way. I mean, for a long time, I think it was that way here in the United States as well. I think a lot of people, you know, thought that abortion was sort of a settled issue here in the United States, that, you know, women just had a right to abortion and it was a woman's right. And you know, just sort of wasn't debated. And the pro-life people here in the U.S. continued to push and push and push and, you know, pushed for the rights of the children in the womb and, you know, really continued to show that, no, there is a life in the womb and these children matter. And they deserve a voice and they deserve for us to, you know, to really fight for them. And so, you know, here we are after, you know, over 49 years of legalized abortion in the United States, you know, now our laws have been overturned. And so I think it shows that, you know, we can fight and win on this issue, even when, you know, people think, you know, it's settled, or we think that nothing's going to change, or, you know, we still can make a difference when it comes to abortion and abortion laws.
Because you have another view to look at this. I mean, in Sweden, we talk about, and especially the feminists talk about that there is a backlash for the women. But you have, I mean, you've seen so much things from the inside. And you also work with the midwives and people who have actually been in the industry. And can you tell us a little about that and what you've seen and what they've seen?
Yeah. You know, I think that abortion has been talked about and sort of sold to the public as, you know, something that is good for women, as something that women need. But when we look at the damage that abortion does to women, clearly it is not something that is good for us. You know, there is nothing good about making a child, making a woman's child an enemy to a mother. There, you know, there's nothing good at creating a war between a mother and her child. And that's what abortion does. So instead of truly empowering a woman, and which is what feminists should be doing, right? That's, feminists say they're there to empower women. They say that they're there to help raise up women. So instead of saying to a woman, you know what, you're in a difficult situation, and so I'm going to help you. I'm going to help fund your education. I'm going to help you get a better job. I'm going to, you know, help you with resources, or I'm going to help you with babysitting, or I'm going to help you, you know, do whatever it is that you need, right? I'm going to help you get, you know, better transportation or whatever. Instead of doing that, they say to a woman, you are not strong enough to be a mother to this child that's growing within you. So the only solution there is for you in this time of weakness is to kill your baby. And that is not empowerment. That is not empowering a woman. That is clearly manipulating her, and that is exploiting her in a moment of weakness in her life. And what we do in the pro-life movement is we look at a woman and say, how can we help you? How can we help you with your educational goals? How can we help you with your career goals? What can we do to truly empower you, you know, in your goals and the things that you want to do in your life, in your dreams, right? You can have a baby and still fulfill your dreams. And, but that's not what the pro-choice movement is doing. And that's not what feminists are doing. And what's happening in abortion clinics, I mean, we see it all the time. Women are being, you know, they're being manipulated into choosing abortion. They are not having true choice. The care inside of these places where women receive abortions is, it's not good care. And so, you know, women truly do deserve better.
Yeah, I think so. And I was just thinking about all this feminist movement and the anger about our kind of slipped my.
I think one of the reasons that a lot of these women are so angry, a lot of, you know, these feminists are so angry is because they themselves have had abortions. And it's a lot easier, I think, for, you know, these women to say, well, abortion is a right and abortion is no big deal. And what I was carrying inside my womb was nothing. And it was just tissue and it was just cells, right? And it wasn't a baby. It's a lot easier to say that than to admit that I might have taken a life. I might have taken the life of my own child, right? So it's a lot easier to just be angry and to yell and to get mad than it is to admit that maybe you did something wrong. And so I think that's where a lot of the anger comes in the feminist movement.
I think I have actually not spoken to one woman who haven't kind of regret the abortion. I mean, the timing wasn't right and they feel okay, but they still regret it.
Yeah, because abortion is incredibly unnatural. I mean, taking the life of your own baby is incredibly unnatural. And sometimes, you know, it takes years for a woman to understand that regret, to feel that regret. Many times, you know, I've had an abortion and I remember after I had my abortion, I felt very relieved. You know, I mean, after I had my abortion, I had this, you know, I thought, oh my gosh, I have this big crisis and I'm feeling very nervous. And, you know, and so right after I had my abortion, I felt very relieved. I thought, okay, you know, the biggest problem I've ever experienced in my life is over. And so I felt very relieved. It wasn't until years later that I realized, oh my gosh, I've done this terrible thing. You know, I've killed my child. And, but that didn't happen until many years later. And and that's what we find with a lot of women, you know, immediately they feel relieved and they feel glad that they made the decision because it was just this big problem, you know, that now has been taken care of. And it's not until years later that they finally come to the realization of what they've done.
So what made you kind of resign? I mean, you just walked away from your work. And I mean, what was it like that? Or was it, I mean, over time, or was it that time that you actually, when you realized this is a life?
Yeah, it was really seeing that ultrasound guided abortion. Yeah. That was what made me say, you know, I can't do this anymore. And I realized that I had been, you know, believing a lie. And I realized that I had been saying lies. I had been, you know, because I had believed this lie, then, you know, when women would come to me, I would tell them lies, you know, and I just knew I couldn't be a part of it anymore.
So what did you do? What, I mean, you went away and did you immediately start to work against abortion?
Well, originally, I mean, originally I did not, you know, this is not what I wanted to do. Originally, I just sort of wanted to leave very quietly and just go away and get another job and do something else, you know. But Planned Parenthood, actually, they took me to court and they tried to silence me. They tried to prevent me from being able to tell my story. And when they did that, they sent out a press release to the media telling the media that they were taking me to court. And when they did that, it got picked up all around the world. And then people started asking me, you know, the media started asking me questions saying, you know, what don't they want us to know? You know, what do you know? What's taking place inside of the abortion clinics that, you know, why are they trying to silence you? And so that really, all of a sudden, I was on all these TV shows and I'm, you know, telling my story, which is not what I intended to do. But I just felt like God really opened that door for me. And so I walked through it and I've been doing it ever since for now almost 13 years.
Hmm. Yeah. And you're actually involved in several things. I mean, there's, you help, you support these mothers. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many organizations are you behind?
Yeah. So, I run two nonprofits and one helps get, women and men who work in abortion clinics. We get them out of the abortion, clinics and get them into a relationship with Christ. And we, help get them therapy and any counseling that they need and help them get like new jobs and things like that. And then I run another nonprofit called Pro Love Ministries, and we have many different programs and projects that we run. We have an international ministry that we run. We have a crisis line that we run for pregnant moms, for single parents. So we do, we have an adoption ministry. We have all different types of things that we run.
Hmm. Yeah, you do actually a lot of things, but and I've been listening to a lot of things. You've been a lot of your shows and your interviews, but in one of them you talk about this propaganda. So you fell for the propaganda. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little about that? Because I'm very curious.
The abortion industry has been very good about sort of selling people on this idea that, you know, abortion is something. Well, many years ago, they used to tell people that, you know, abortion needed to be safe, legal, and rare. And so, you know, we don't want there to be a lot of abortions. We want to keep abortion rare, and you know, we're trying to prevent the need for abortion. And so when I got involved, that was what I heard all the time, was that we're trying to prevent abortion. But as I stayed there, you know, I realized that we're actually selling abortion. I mean, we are essentially tricking women into having abortions. And that is the abortion machine. That is the abortion industry. Abortion is a product they are selling. So just like you go to buy a car and that car salesman is trying to get you to buy a car, if you walk into an abortion clinic in the United States, that clinic is trying to get you to buy an abortion. And you know, that was something I really didn't realize, because it's just part of the propaganda that they sell you as a staff member when you walk in the door. You know, it's like, oh, you know, we're a charitable organization and we're trying to help women. And, you know, in reality, every woman that walks through those doors is just a number to them. And they're just trying to make money off of every woman that walks in.
So what do they do to the industry? What do they do with the babies?
So they can do one of two things. So they either treat them as biomedical waste. So they will go to, well, some clinics will put them down a garbage disposal, or some clinics will take them to a biohazard medical waste facility where they're burned. Or they will send them to a research lab, and that clinic will get paid per baby that they sell to a research lab, where those babies will be, I mean, the babies are sold for parts. They're sold for, you know, to researchers, to, you know, have different sorts of research performed on them. Hmm. And that's another revenue stream for the abortion industry.
If I'm not wrong now, I maybe you can correct me, but is there 5 states in US who allows abortion up until week 40?
Yeah, there's more than that that allow it, but there's only 5 states right now that have doctors that do it. Mm-hmm. So there's currently like 11 states that allow it, but there's only 5 states that have doctors. So, yes, there are doctors that will perform abortions through all 40 weeks of pregnancy in the United States for any reason.
Can you even call that an abortion?
I mean, it shouldn't be called an abortion. I mean, that is just, it's murder. I actually just received records from a woman today. I didn't just receive them today, but I was looking over them today from a woman who had an abortion. She's very regretful of that decision now, but she had an abortion at 30 weeks. Just an elective abortion at 30 weeks at a clinic in Boulder, Colorado. And she sent me her records to look over from the clinic. And it's despicable what they're doing to these babies.
Hmm. And I mean, you don't even need a reason except for... Mm-hmm. I think it's really hard to talk about this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a mother of 3. Mm-hmm. So, yes. And I also work as a doula. So I've been to the hospital a lot to see the baby's been born. And and I don't know where during this time I actually started to see, because it's when they take the baby's blood, that's another thing. And as a doula, I can see that they really don't want the child to have this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's something I reacted very strongly to. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for the English word. Maybe you can help me. vad heter det? Navelsträngsblod. The blood from the...
The umbilical cord?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's another thing I've been working with a lot. Because that's not right. Mm-hmm. What they're doing. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Can you... this film that you've been doing... Mm-hmm. That hopefully will end up here in Sweden.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, can you tell us a little about that, about your movie?
Yeah, so it's my story. It's not a documentary though; it is a film. And it opened in theaters here in March of 2019. It was in the theaters for 14 weeks, and now we're just trying to, you know, spread it across the world. It's, you know, it shows abortion. It shows what abortion is. It shows my story. And, you know, I think it has brought a lot of healing to people who have had abortions. It shows my own story with abortion. We're just, you know, it's been in Italy, it's been in France, it's been in Poland, it's been, you know, just sort of all across the world. So we would love for it to open up in Sweden.
Mm. Yeah. Now you have 7 kids?
I have 8.
8 kids? Oh my God. Oh, yeah. There's one more than I read on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and I love doulas. I had doulas with my birth, so.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, so the work you are doing is, how do people react? I mean, of course, most of the people you meet probably don't get angry at you, but I figure that people been angry at your work.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people do get angry. A lot of people, you know, don't agree with me. And I mean, that's okay. They don't have to agree with me. They haven't seen the things that I have seen. But I mean, honestly, if you don't agree with me, like if you don't agree that life begins at conception, then you don't agree with science, because science tells us that life begins at conception. And I mean, that's just the reality. So you can be for abortion. But I just think that if you're for abortion, you need to be honest about what you're supporting. So if you're for abortion, then you need to be honest and just say that you support killing an unborn human being, because science says that inside the womb at the moment of conception is a living human being. There, it's not any other species, right? No woman has ever given birth to a dog or a cat or anything else. It is a human being. It is living, right? There's only 2 states of being, either living or dying. And the baby in the womb is not dying. It's living. It's growing. So it's living. It's a human being. It is life at the moment of conception. Science confirms all of those things. And I have a lot more respect for people who are pro-choice, who will at least admit that. At least admit that if you support abortion, then you believe that it is acceptable to take the life of a human being, because that is scientifically what you believe. What I don't have respect for is people lying about science. I don't have respect for people who say it's not a human being, or it's not a life, or it's not alive. That is contrary to everything scientifically that we know to be true. And I just think that people need to be honest. And people, you know, they get mad about it, but they're not really mad at me. They're just mad at the truth. And the truth does make people feel uncomfortable. And that's, you know, that's okay. The truth made me feel uncomfortable when I was living a life that was opposed to the truth. But what I do know is that the truth does set us free. And I hope that more people come to embrace the truth of life. And I hope that more people start to really open their eyes to what abortion is. And I think that if more people actually saw what an abortion is, if they saw what an abortion did to the life of an innocent child in the womb, I think more people would be against it.
So Your work is actually to raise awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. Yeah. And I mean, there's like somebody on here right now who's like, you know, is a sperm a murdered baby? And that's so ridiculous. That's like the most ridiculous argument. That's not even scientific. And those are the types of arguments that we hear all the time. And it's a completely unscientific argument, right? Of course, a sperm is alive. But if you understand anything about human reproduction, if you understand anything about science, then you understand that a child is not conceived until a sperm and an egg meet, right? That's like very, very basic biology. Mm-hmm. So we hear these types of arguments, though, all the time. So no, of course, a sperm alone isn't a murdered baby. But if you kill a human being that has been conceived, a sperm and an egg that has met, that has now been conceived, then yes, that is killing a child. So, but it's like these people who are pro-choice, it's like they have lost all scientific ability. And it's interesting. It's interesting because I think that some of them need to go back to a basic biology class.
So I know that we're a little short of time, but is there ever, in your eyes, okay with an abortion? I mean, can you justify an abortion?
No, I don't think it's ever okay to take the life of an innocent human being under any circumstances. There are, you know, some people who think it's okay to, you know, take a life if, you know, that person conceived under sexual assault, you know, under rape or something like that. But, you know, either we believe that life is sacred, that, you know, innocent life is sacred, or we don't. And, you know, I know many people who have been conceived under those circumstances that are alive today, and their life is just as valuable as someone who was conceived in love. And they would tell you that they're very thankful that their mother chose life for them. And so, I don't believe there's ever a circumstance where we need to deliberately terminate a child's life to save, you know, to even there are situations where people see where people say, you know, oh, well, we need to, you know, kill a child to save the mother's life. And there's never a time where we need to abort a child to save a mom. Delivery is what saves a mother's life, not abortion. So there may be times where we need to deliver a baby to save a mother's life, but there's never a time where we need to kill that child before delivery to save her life.
I think we need to have a more of a debate actually in the subject. I mean, do you often get invited to debate, or do you just, I mean, the most of what I've seen is you being introduced to speak about the subject, but have you been in many debates?
Nobody will debate with me.
No.
I wish they would. But
we should have that climate, really.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, there should be more dialogue and debate, but nobody from the pro-choice side will debate with me.
So if we and this interview, what's your hope for the future?
you know, I see a lot of hope in young people. My daughter, my oldest daughter is 15 and she is, you know, incredibly pro-life. And our young people, I find, you know, especially here in the United States, there a lot of our young people are very pro-life. I mean, they're the first photo they have of themselves is, you know, of them as a baby on an ultrasound. And so, you know, they find that they're, I find as I talk to them, I mean, we go to the March for Life here in the United States and 70% of the people there are under the age of 30. And so I have great hope in that, you know, a lot of the younger generation values the sanctity of human life. And I think that, you know, they are a generation that, you know, I think they value their faith a lot, but I also think that they look at the science, they look at the medical technology, they look at the advancements that we've made, and they very much value that when they're making their decisions on human life. And I appreciate that very much. And so I'm excited. I'm excited to see where the future goes. I'm excited about, you know, things that have happened here in the United States, the, you know, reversal of our terrible law, Roe versus Wade, and the states able to make, you know, being able to make their own decisions. The state that I live in, Texas, abortion is now illegal here. All of our abortion clinics have closed. So, you know, we're already seeing a tremendous amount of women calling in and, you know, having their babies. And so we're very thankful for that.
And I'm actually very, very thankful, Abby, that you wanted to be on the show. Thank you so much. And I mean, I'm so glad that you gave your view of this, because this is also needed.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.